The first case is Comcast Cable Communications versus Real-Time Adaptive Streaming, 2020-2281. Mr. Day.
Good morning. My time running.
Please proceed.
All right. Good morning. And may it please the court. I'm James Day, representing appellant Comcast, and we're here to discuss the decision of the PTAB on an IPR proceeding where we challenged the 046 patent as obvious. And I think there are two basic topics we want to discuss today, two things to cover, two general areas. First, what theory did we actually advance before the PTAB, and did the board consider that theory? And the second area to cover is motivation to combine. But I'd like to start with the first, and I think the briefing here has really crystallized the issue about whether or not, down to whether or not the board actually considered the theory we advanced.
And when you say theory, just so you can cover what I need to know, is this deal with the fact that you were just dealing with one reference,
Cowan-Hogan, Your Honor.
Or the combination of that and the second reference? Is that what you say when in terms of what your theory was?
That's exactly right, Your Honor. So we presented a theory where you start with a MI, which discloses this compression system that sits on a server in a network like the internet, and it sends data out over the internet to a client computer sitting somewhere else. And our theory was you start with the MI and you modify that based on this rate buffer that Cowan-Hogan is talking about. And so what you end up with is a MI with a rate buffer.
Was MI mentioned in your petition? Your opposing counsel says it wasn't.
Right, Your Honor. So what real-time says is in the section of our petition where we discuss one of the limitations.
The limitation that's really in dispute in this case.
Exactly. Limitation 1B. We just talked about Cowan-Hogan.
And that's correct, is it not?
That's a true statement, yes.
Yes. So how did you not forfeit it if in discussing the limitation that's in dispute, you never included a reference other than Cowan-Hogan?
So there's a couple of answers to that. First, if we start with the petition and look at the petition more broadly, it says ground one, the one that challenges claim one, is based on MI and Cowan-Hogan. And there's an introductory paragraph in the petition to the argument that says explicitly it would have been obvious to a person of ordinary skill in the art to start with a MI and modify it based on the rate buffer teachings of Cowan-Hogan. So the petition,
you want to
that entire...
Do you have the appendix site to that page that you're referring to in the petition?
Yes, sure. Yeah, that's at Appendix 93.
Okay.
So Posita would have found it obvious to use MI's teachings regarding multi-algorithm compression systems, etc., as a starting point, and apply Cowan-Hogan's buffer feedback and throughput teachings to select the compressor. So the theory of ground one in general, is a combination. And so we get to limitation 1B, and the teaching of Cowan-Hogan is the most relevant thing, but only in the context of combining with a MI. And that there are other places in the petition that confirm this. When we get to limitation 1C, it's really that limitation sort of refers back to what you did in step 1B. 1B says you track the throughput. 1C says you use that tracked throughput, and it explicitly says Cowan-Hogan in light of MI. So we didn't repeat that phrase for every limitation, but we think, at least implicitly, by beginning the entire discussion, by saying here's the combination we're proposing, it should have been clear.
But if you're the board, if you're just sitting on the board and you've got several limitations that are in dispute, and you get to the portion of the petition at 105, which is dealing with 1B, which is the issue before us, isn't the board doing its job by taking all of the arguments you make under 1B and disposing and dealing with those? And shouldn't it be able to assume that having done that, it's covered all its territory? And so given that you didn't refer to this other reference in any of your discussion labeled 1B limitation, why isn't that, I don't like the word forfeit, but why isn't that a basis for which the board did not do what it should by not dealing with an additional issue that was more general and generic?
Yeah, well, as I've said, Your Honor, we think the petition clearly sets out the theory, and so you would read each limitation in light of that theory. So that's part of the answer. But the other part is, in its institution decision, the board said, and the parties are invited to further develop their positions with regard to limitation 1B explicitly. And that's what happened. So they deposed our expert. He provided his testimony with regard to putting packets in a buffer, which is our theory, that if you use a MI, you would be putting packets, network packets, into the buffer. Then Realtime filed its opposition brief, its patent owner's response, and focused only on Kallenhoven. So in our reply, we said, wait a minute, that's the wrong theory. You're misunderstanding our theory. And we pointed back to the petition. We didn't introduce any new evidence at that point. We just pointed back to our petition, to the expert's declaration. In the expert declaration, paragraph 135, the expert had said, these are requests, these buffered data packets, so data packets of MI in the buffer, that's what we're tracking. And so we pointed back and said, look, your argument is irrelevant because that's not the theory we presented. So now by the reply, we've very clearly explained our position.
Or changed it.
I would say we very clearly explained our position by that point. And so, and then again, at oral argument, we explained what the position was, which is stated in the petition in the introductory paragraph to the entire ground. So I think we clarified.
Does any of the discussion that you've been engaged in up till now about Kallenhoven and MI bear on the board's conclusion that putting aside what one makes of packets, counting data requests is not met by seeing how full the buffer is?
Yeah, so it answers that question. So what the board did, and what Realtime did in its analysis, is it said, look, in Kallenhoven, you've got this buffer, and it's going to fill up with data of variable different sizes. So you could have really small chunks, you could have big chunks. So when the buffer is half full, you don't know how many chunks of data you've got. It could be one really big one, it could be a lot of really small ones. But if you implement MI with a rate buffer, that rate buffer is going to fill up with data packets that go out over a network, like the internet, that are all the same size. So if you have a buffer that will hold, 10 packets, and you set a threshold at 50%, you know when you get there, you've got 5 packets, because they're all the same size. And that's why this matters. That's why we clarified in our reply that that's the theory. But when we clarified, we didn't bring in new evidence. And I would say we did not bring in new arguments. We pointed back to the petition. We pointed back to our expert declaration. And we pointed to the expert testimony during deposition. All of that was provided before the patent owner's response.
Now, you've argued that some of the claims that were rejected did not have the crucial tracking the number of pending requests limitation, but the board said they were similar.
Right, and I think that conclusion is just not supported by any evidence.
Nor is the contrary argument supported by anything you said in your petition or indeed your reply to the board.
I think the problem there is we didn't anticipate that the court would apply an argument that doesn't apply to claims like 11 to 11. So what happened is in its opposition, in its patent owner response, Realtime only talked about claim 1. It didn't analyze.
But you didn't say in your reply, if I remember right, tell me if I'm wrong, that patent owner's response makes an argument applicable only to language in claim 1. Such language does not appear in a bunch of the other claims. And for those, that argument wouldn't apply. I don't think that appears in your reply.
We did not state the second part of that. We did say in our reply, and we quote this in our briefing, we did say real-time only argues about limitation 1B and 1C, motivation to combine, and it effectively concedes that the prior art discloses all other limitations. And in our petition, we said claim 11B, one that doesn't have the language we're interested in, is a broader limitation. And so that's a different limitation. So what we did not do, and I agree, we did not take, you know, they made a lot of arguments. We didn't take every one of their arguments and say, well, if you adopt this one, it only applies to these claims. And if you adopt that one, it applies to these other claims. And I don't think that was our burden.
Well, I think real-time should have done it. I'm looking at page 24, and where it quotes the one paragraph which it contends, and I don't think you dispute, is the entire showing with respect to 11B. And it's this one paragraph which starts, limitation 11B is included in 1B and obvious for the same reasons.
That's right. I think our evidence for why it was obvious was the same. But in that paragraph, in that same paragraph, we said 11B is broader. So it's not the same scope.
Well, what you say is, while 11B is broader and could be satisfied in other ways, you say the 46 patent is clear that it can at least be satisfied by tracking a number of pending requests for data transmission.
That's right? True.
Right.
That's true. So our position on why it was obvious in the first place was based on our same theory that you would take Kallenhoven and bake it into MI. The problem with what the court did is it equated the scope of claims that are different, and it focused in on this language and said it's not in Kallenhoven, but that language is not in about half of the claims.
Yeah, but you have to make the argument to the board. I mean, it's not like there's no limitation on data transmission in the other claims. It's just
right.
That the wording is somewhat different, and somewhere yeah. Somebody did a good job in their brief of putting them side by side.
Right. So
there is something you had to show
yes.
with respect to 11B, even if you had differentiated the two, which you maybe did a little, maybe not, but you haven't given the board any basis for reaching a different conclusion on that limitation, right?
Well, I think the problem here is the board focused in on language in 1B that just doesn't exist in 11B. And I don't think we anticipated that the board would make a factual finding on a limitation that doesn't exist in some of the claims. Now, real-time made other arguments that would have applied more broadly. And again, I concede we did not go through each of their arguments to say which would apply to which claims. But what we said is they've only argued about 1B and 1C, and they effectively concede for others. The other problem...
Did you actually say that?
Yeah, in our reply, we say I don't remember the exact language, but they've essentially conceded that the prior art discloses the other claims or other limitations.
Counsel, we're working on real time here too, and it's moving fast.
Yeah.
So would you like to save
yeah.
your rebuttal time?
Well, I'm already rebuttal time. I would, Your Honor. Thank
right.
you.
All right. Mr. Kroger, is it?
Yes, correct, Your Honor. May it please the court, Paul Kroger for appellee and patent owner real-time adaptive streaming. I think Mr. Day put it best when he said the question for this court is what's in the petition. Because if you actually look at the petition, the argument they're advancing now on appeal simply was not present. The entirety of the argument with respect to limitation 1B focused only on the text and teaching of Kallenhoven, and that's what the board
but
rightly
what about
considered.
Your friend's argument that at the beginning of the petition it makes clear that the underlying everything we're about to say is this thing in the other reference?
He is correct that they were arguing that in totality we're looking at a combination of MI and Kallenhoven. But in terms of how that combination is actually applied, it's their burden to actually explain it and explain their theory. So, for example, limitation 1A is based primarily on MI. Limitation 1B is based entirely on Kallenhoven. To the extent they were claiming the combination of MI and Kallenhoven meant you had to modify Kallenhoven's teachings, That was their burden to explain in the petition, and they did not do that.
You mean specifically for 1B?
Correct. If you look at limitation 1B, and this is in appendix 105 to 108, the word MI simply does not appear. Similarly, if you look at the motivation to combine section of the petition, this is at appendix 94 to 99, where they explain their entire theory of combinations, they are talking only about taking the teachings of Kallenhoven and putting them into MI. They are never talking about using MI to modify Kallenhoven and use a data packets with Kallenhoven. That discussion doesn't occur. So, for example, at appendix 94 to 95, they state, a Posita would have been motivated to apply Kallenhoven's teachings to MI because MI suggests the rate of compression should be controlled, and Kallenhoven provides specific teachings for doing so. They say something similar at appendix 97 to 98. Again, their theory was you take Kallenhoven and you plug it into MI, and that was the theory the board answered. I think it's telling that in their blue brief on page 37, they contend the key teaching of MI about these data packets comes from paragraphs 51 and 66, and the discussion, and this is a quote from their brief, of cutting the input signal into units of frame having predetermined length suitable for a packet. And again, they claim that comes from paragraphs 51 and 66 of MI on page 37 of the blue brief. Those paragraphs of MI, paragraphs 51 and 66, are not referenced, cited, or discussed in the section of the petition about limitation 1B at all. Moreover, those paragraphs, paragraphs 51 and 66 of MI, are not discussed in the motivation to combine section of the petition. And moreover, they are not relied in the corresponding portions of their expert, Dr. Storer's declaration. Simply put, this discussion about modifying Kallenhoven to use data packets is not in the petition. It's something they came up with later. It's not an argument that was fairly raised. It's not an argument the board had any reason or any obligation to consider. Turning briefly to the other argument, once again, Your Honor, we're here to analyze the arguments they raised in the petition, not the arguments that they could have raised.
This is about the claims other than claim one?
Correct. They were clear in their petition. So, for example, on appendix 123, they say limitation 11B is included in 1B and is obvious for the same reasons. And as Judge Prost noted on pages 24 and 25 of our brief, the red brief, we cite every place in the appendix where they make that same statement for every similar limitation.
Well, except they say some stuff after that one sentence you quoted on 123.
They do mention that it's broader, but they never explain why that matters. To the extent that their argument, they rely solely on their prior arguments. To the extent they had any basis for saying it's broader, but this art discloses it for this lesser reason, that's the part that's absent from their petition. I mean, if Your Honors were to remand this back to the board to consider solely these other limitations, there's nothing for the board to consider because there's no lesser arguments presented in the petition about how these claim limitations are met based on anything other than their arguments on 1B. That's all they rely on.
But the board didn't say anything about this at all, right?
Did they say anything about when they haven't made any,
even though these other claims have different language, they haven't made any argument that's different for these claims?
I believe the board simply deferred to their reliance on the same arguments in the final written decision. What they say, and this is Appendix 28, although these claims do not depend from Claim 1, they each require tracking the throughput of a data processing system similar to Claim 1. Therefore, for the same reasons, petitioner fails to meet its burden with regards to Claim 1, and we determine petitioner fails to meet the burden with regard to these specific claims.
And that's definitely, nobody's challenged that, the correctness of that statement, because even in blue at 40, when they compare the two claims, what the board said about the claims is correct.
That's correct. And unless any of you have any further questions, I'm happy to cede the rest of my time.
Thank you, counsel. We'll see you again in a little while. Mr. Day will give you 3 minutes for rebuttal if you need it.
Can I just ask you a threshold housekeeping question, which is if hypothetically we were to agree with your friend on the first two arguments that you've presented, the motivation to combine, which is your third argument, goes away?
If you were to agree on the first two arguments, I think that's right.
You don't.
If you agree with us that you can't just look at Cal and Hovind, then both of those arguments go away. And also on motivation to combine, I also think, and I want to make sure that this gets out in response to what counsel said, if we presented this combination that I'm suggesting, and the board didn't consider it, then that necessarily skewed its view of our motivation to combine evidence, right? And so I think this all boils down to what theory do we present, and should the board have to consider that the theory that I am suggesting we presented. And one point I want to make sure gets out is an IPR proceeding is not obviously it's guided by the petition. That's right. The Supreme Court has told us that. But it's not an evaluation of how fulsome the petition is. It's an adversarial proceeding where the evidence and arguments are developed through a trial phase. And in our reply brief, we were very clear about our theory. And we only pointed back to arguments and evidence that either were in our petition, our experts' declaration submitted with the petition, and deposition testimony of our experts. So it's all original arguments, evidence, and then evidence through deposition before patent owner responded. And the board never said that we were too late. It didn't say we're not going to consider that because you're too late. It just didn't consider it. And that, I think, is there are more recent decisions from this court. There's an Everstar non-precedential decision from not too long ago that says it's an abuse of discretion to not consider a reply that is just clarifying positions made in response to an argument. That's what happened here. We set out in our petition what we thought was a clear argument. Real-time responded to it and by saying, no, you only look at Kallenhoven. And we, in our reply, said, wait, you're misunderstanding. Pointed back to our petition, our original evidence, and said, here's our theory. And I believe we're allowed to do that. And that's what happened. The board never said that we weren't allowed to do that. So we never, there was never a debate about that. And so I think that was incorrect. And I also think that if...
Can you remind me, did this come up at the oral argument?
Which, the theory? Yes.
This question of, about...
Right, it wasn't...
About whether to get 1B in particular, relying on MI plus Kalikawa, and not whether to get the entirety of the combination
yes.
You're relying on the two, which is...
It was addressed at oral argument. In our reply brief here, we cite appendix pages where it came up at oral argument. I mean, we were consistently clear on that theory once real-time questioned, frankly, what the theory was. Thank you. The final thought is, we haven't talked about the motivation to combine. I'm going to, in my 30 seconds,
you don't have 30 seconds.
I'm sorry.
In arrears in 30 seconds.
I'm 30 seconds. In arrears. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Thank you very much for your indulgence today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. The case is submitted.